Hey yo, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear. I am once again the futurist, your crown prince of charisma, Mo, joined by the king of the casters, Mr. Brett Podcasts. But Brett, who cares about us? I mean, really, honestly, I mean, we're here. We're the same every damn week, every damn day, actually. But we have somebody who's not. We have somebody we're really excited to talk to. Please introduce our guest.
Well, our guest is the lead vocalist of a band that I mean, I don't want to say came out of nowhere, but they almost came out of nowhere. And now they've become, you know, becoming quite a big thing, which is awesome for them. They are a band that's super catchy. And also, they got me thinking about my left side brain a whole lot. But
We
got Kyle from the Unlikely Candidates. Kyle, how are you?
Good, man. How are you guys?
Well, you know,
fantastic.
Craving a rattlesnake burger, but that's for something else. That's only ever had one.
I feel you. It was good, man. It was good. I went searching again for it.
Yeah, I was looking at that tour you guys were at, and so I mean, yes, you said you had a day off air. You told us you had a day off yesterday. It blows my mind because I mean, it seems like you guys are out there. I mean, every night it's and I guess it's, I don't know, it's a tour bus I'm guessing you're on, but I mean, you see you're in Nevada,
then,
or go ahead, please.
No, yeah, this is like basically one of the only days off that we're gonna have, like the whole tour. We have like a little bit like on the front end of the tour just to kind of like prepare us for the beat down of 12 day stretch in a row.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at it. It's really crazy. I mean, I think it was something like 27 dates in a couple of the months, 27 out of 30 dates, you know, and I mean, you're like Nevada to Los Angeles, you know, to Colorado, back down to California, then you hit the East Coast, then you hit Toronto for a day, then back out to the East Coast of the U.S., then Montreal for a day, and then, I mean, it's really all over the place. I mean, it's got to be a lot of time just hanging out with each other, trying not to get on each other's nerves.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, man. Definitely. Yeah, it's the most ambitious one we've ever done. We basically told our booking agent, we're like, hey, yeah, we want to be as busy as we possibly can. And I think that he heard that as book them every single day for 3 months. So it's going to be intense. It'll be fun, though.
It's your first big headlining tour, I guess. So, you know, I mean,
it's the first big one, like it's our first big one where we're hitting all of the markets since like Novocaine. So it's like we've done a bunch of like headlining ones before, but this is our first like real debut after we've had our little like hit alternative song.
You know, it's interesting because I mean, you guys, I mean, obviously you've been talking about putting out a full length album for a while, but I mean, here Novocaine comes and it's huge, huge song, right? So you want to capitalize on that momentum, but if you're capitalizing on that momentum and going out and touring, then you can't do the album, right? So I guess was it a bit of a dilemma? What kind of conversation was that?
I mean, we've been writing for this album for like ever. So we have like tens and tens of songs. So it's like, essentially we've kind of been preparing because we knew that this was going to happen. We knew that once the song took off that we were going to have to be touring a lot, like literally like in the month, we had about a month off and I spent maybe like almost that entire month traveling around the country from New York to LA, like writing more songs for the follow-up. Like we've got a couple like really strong candidates for follow-up single, and literally, I've just been trying to beat them.
You know, so,
it's pretty intense.
Yeah, it is. I mean, what I see with you guys out there, you know, and you're headlining, you have this hit song, and it's kind of like a change in the music industry. I mean, you guys have really done a good job. I mean, you guys do a good job of getting out there because the idea of you know, having a big tour like this when you don't have a full album out yet. I mean, in the past, that never would have happened. You know, it's changed, and you guys navigate the new world and the streaming world and the YouTube and everything like that brilliantly, whereas a lot of bands are still struggling to figure that out.
Yeah, man, it's pretty nuts. Like, I mean, we've had like multiple EPs, so it's like if you kind of add all of that stuff up, it kind of like almost equates out to two albums. But it's like it really obviously helps to have like that full big album, because, you know, people are going to be listening to that, and the fans want something that they can sink their teeth into and like sing along to. And if they have, just honestly, it's like the more songs you have out, the better. But I think that we've done a pretty good job of like putting out continuous content to kind of capitalize on this new kind of streaming model of releasing music, for sure.
Yeah, I think you've really, really done that brilliantly, like I say. And I mean, the thing about a full album is it would give you the chance to experiment and do some different stuff, because you could fit in a couple different type of things while still maintaining, you know, what people expect out of you.
Yeah, like, absolutely, man. Like, I would love to have, like, a string of just self-indulgent B-sides. Like, it would be so dope. Yeah. Yeah, because, like, we got to make every shot that we got, like, count, kind of. Yeah. Like, we're always swinging kind of for the fences. It would be nice to have a little bit of, like, the album space to, like, just release some, like, really weird, cool stuff, because we have a lot of that, too.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I was interested in talking about, was certainly the concept, because, you know, going through the stuff that you've released, I mean, it all has that hooks, the singable choruses, and so you don't lack for that. And so, yeah, it's, I was wondering, was that just based on attempting to capture the market, or is that just you?
It's, I mean, it's a little bit of both. I mean, we love big songs. Like, I mean, we really do. Like, we love a big chorus and a big catchy melody, and I think that's all been in our DNA. So like a little bit of that, and then yeah, also just trying as much as we can to like write songs that we think might connect. So it's about half and half, probably like any other artist that's like aware of like the need to be a little bit commercial, like you do, you know, kind of one for me, one for them type thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the case of Novocaine, at what point did you kind of get the idea that it was going to be as big as it is?
I think a little bit of that was definitely like the music video, because like it got picked up by the YouTube algorithm, which like basically, yes, means that people are just like watching a certain amount of time and then coming back. And like at one point we were getting like almost like a million plays a month for a week. And I was like, this is kind of going like very low key viral. So I was like, there's definitely something here. And this was super early on in us like releasing it to radio and like that whole thing. So it definitely was an indication that we had something good on our hands, but it's like, you never know how it's going to translate to radio and all the actual, but he seemed to like it on there. So I kind of realized that, that there might be something there.
So then is radio still like one of the ultimate key drivers? Because I mean, in this day and age, it feels like YouTube and having 15.5 million current views on it should be a really big deal, but you talk about a radio a lot. So then what are the, say, the biggest drivers?
Yeah, well, honestly, right now TikTok is like breaking songs, so it's like I don't even know anymore, man. Like literally, like if you look at like the top like 100 songs, like it's gonna be like at least a third made up of stuff that like went viral on TikTok. So it's like, I don't even know. It's just such an aggregate these days. It's Spotify playlisting. Radio is still like king, honestly, because they just really like, you know, it's a curated playlist that's easy to like turn on when you're like driving or something, you know. I think that's primarily where people listen to it, but it's still the biggest way to get your music out there to a mainstream audience. So it's a little bit of everything these days.
How much how much of that do you pay attention to, the algorithms, these things?
That's, I mean, it sounds like
you're, yeah, I figured you were going to ask that. I mean, it seems to me like you're really up to date on that. Like you're really, you know, analyzing it.
Oh man. Yeah. You gotta be savvy, man. You really do. Like, I mean, like times where like, we knew that this was going to be a big swing for us. So like, you know, we tried to stay aware and just kind of make sure that the song was like being pushed in like the most efficient way possible. So like we kind of stayed up on all that stuff. And like, honestly, like we didn't really pay a ton of attention to YouTube before the video started blowing up. So almost like that market exploding led us to us kind of discovering more as well. Same thing with TikTok. I think we were like kind of engaged with the format because I was just like, oh man, like I don't want to learn like one more social media format right now. Like I'm so burnt. But now I'm like, we got to figure out how to use that one even more as well.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah.
My nephew yesterday was telling me about TikTok, and I'm like, I don't get it. What the hell is TikTok? And, you know, he's like, you got to get on it. You got to do this. And I'm like, okay, all right, one more.
Yeah, what exactly, dude? I'm like, oh, God, not another one. But it's such a huge – it's a music-based format.
Yeah.
So, honestly, it's, like, massive for the music world. Like, we really didn't have a music-based social media thing since, like, MySpace. Really, where music was at the front and center of it. So it's like, it's kind of awesome that TikTok exists, but also a little daunting because now I've got to like learn. It's a lot like Vine, really, where like editing, it's all punchline videos and then a little bit crossed with like the Facebook video bar where you get stuck in like the rabbit hole of like one 15-minute video after another. It's like they combine those two. And it's super addicting.
Well, I
beware.
I
mean, that's really...
Yeah, I'm scared already.
Beware.
So then another thing is that, I mean, the song is wound up in so many places. I mean, you talk about Veronica Mars and like Ray Donovan, American Idol, The Four, ESPN, Super Bowl, that kind of thing. I mean, it's like, When you look at that, now, how did a lot of those things just come about?
Like, honestly, like, the Veronica Mars thing came about because of the YouTube thing, and so did the Ray Donovan thing. So it was, like, really YouTube has been massive because it's, like all these, like, people who place songs in these things, basically their one of them, the Veronica Mars is, like, their kid showed them the video and they're like, oh, this is dope. Let's use this for the trailers. That's how Veronica Mars happened. And I think somebody else saw the Veronica Mars thing and they're like, we want this song, but like, we like this song. Like, what else do they have? And then they found our song Violence. So it's like, it's really just kind of this snowball effect of people finding it and wanting to use it. It's pretty weird. A lot of luck.
Well, but you know, I mean, I wish you nothing but good luck. So, hey, I mean, take it while you can.
Hey, man, I definitely will take it. Could always use more luck.
How much kind of personally do you guys put into the creation of the video? How much input do you have?
Man, I used to like micromanage the videos to death. Like, I was like, kind of like, it must be my vision. And I like tried to find directors that would work with me on that. But like, every time I did that, like, the videos just turned out to be a mess. So, like, this video, like, I definitely helped the director on this last video, but I really was like, this guy has a really awesome style. I'm just going to let him do his thing. Like, he wanted, like, I gave him, like, input on, like, there's a bunch of little vignettes where I'm doing, like, stuff to disappoint my girlfriend. And just from life experience, I threw a bunch of those ideas at him. And, like, I really wanted, like, the outfits to be, like, outrageous and very vibrant and colorful. So me and him, like, really went back and forth a lot on trying to figure out what, like, the clothing would be. And I think that helped shape the aesthetic. So it was, like, I definitely had, like, a hand in it. But, like, as far as, like, putting everything together, I was just like, yo, this is your party, man. I'm just going to help you through it a little bit.
The obvious follow up.
I'll bring the dip.
The obvious follow up then is, what did you learn from that experience then of letting that happen and seeing this success?
I think honestly, just find a director that you really like and let them do their thing. Like that. And like, this guy was awesome, dude. Like, he literally, his name's Matthias and his like producer, Lewis. And he just crushed it, man. He put every dime that he made back into this video because he knew that this was going to be his first, like, really big swing at a music video. And he gave it everything. And It was awesome. Like, usually a music video is like absolute chaos. You have like 8 hours. There's like 15 people on set. It's just like a total mess. Like this video, it was like the director who was also shooting the video. It was his producer who was helping out and like one extra camera guy. And like, that was it. It was three wow. people, very singular vision. And instead of shooting it in like 8 hours, we shot it over 3 days in like wow. three different locations. So it was like it really was like a unique experience, and we got to do everything that we wanted to.
So it's actually that's really interesting. I wonder, kind of, you know, if you could see yourself directing videos yourself, you know, if taking it back and it's not being part of the band, but being a director yourself into the music video, and because obviously you have the ideas for it, you're very visual, but you're also that way you would not be too personally involved.
I've done it. Like I've directed a music. Like we had the song Ringer, and like it was kind of my vision to like, I wanted to have like people do a bunch of different ridiculous kind of like symbolic things and almost kind of make like a collection of like viral clips. And like I came up with all of them basically, and we had a director, but he didn't really end up doing the majority of the work. He almost became kind of like an editor, really. And basically I was like contacting people. There's this website called Fiverr where like you can pay people around the world to do basically like anything. Like, so I like contacted people in South Africa. There was like a guy who did parkour in Australia, so I like paid him to like put on masks of like members of the band and do like crazy parkour. Like I had like belly dancers in Sri Lanka, like doing choreographed dances to the song. We had like a puppet that was like singing the words. It was like, there was a lady in South Africa who was like in like a Monopoly Man costume drinking like a Chardonnay glass full of beans. Like it was absolutely ridiculous. And over like several months, I was basically contacting these people and, putting these like little things together, which was like kind of difficult because like there was a language barrier. Like the site translates for you, but like still to get somebody to like completely pull off your vision and they speak like a different language than you, which means they think about things different, phrase things different. It was like, it was super interesting, but also probably one of the most exhausting things I've ever done because you're working on a 24-hour like timeline. Because like I'm contacting people in every area of the world, so yeah. it was pretty wild. It's a cool video. It like it took so long that the song had kind of already burned by like the time we got it out, so like not that many people like saw it as I thought, which was extremely disappointing. But it was an interesting experience. I don't think I've ever slept exactly well after it either.
We've had our own experience with Fiverr. We get it. We we understand exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, you guys.
We used it to get a logo for the show, and man, and it, there was some bit of craziness trying to get the
it's tough,
language
man.
Barrier.
It's
yeah.
tough. Like it's awesome because you can literally, you know, outsource a ton of different like jobs, and like the company even brought us in to like talk as like one of their like, I don't know, they like shot a video of us talking, so we actually got involved with the company a little bit, which was interesting. But yeah, it's an interesting site for sure.
Yeah, and of course they add more services all the time. I mean, it just gets to the point where you could outsource so much that I don't even, you know, it's hard to figure out exactly what you need based on it. But yeah, I mean, fascinating. Like,
if you wanted to take a night off from the tour, you could probably outsource somebody to play for you that night if you wanted. If you were too tired.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. There's your idea.
UK on Fiverr, man. Like, outsource any job, basically. Shout out.
Well, we've heard some of the singers that they provide, so I know it will be really interesting. But
hey, yo, very sorry, but unfortunately, Kyle's phone just dropped out on us, and we tried to reconnect with him, and unfortunately lost the conversation, and he's a busy guy, had to go on to his next appointment. So we want to thank Kyle Morris for joining us from the Unlikely Candidates. Very good interview, and we appreciate it. And we're sorry about the unusual ending, but you can check out Kyle and the Unlikely Candidates, as you could probably have heard from the interview, and pretty much every social media that you could possibly do, whatever one is your favorite, and try and catch them in concert, because they are an excellent show. Anything else that you wanted to add, Brad?
Well, the single is called Novocaine. The tour is the Novocaine tour. So they've really, they're really hitting that hard right now, but that's understandable, because that's it's working for them. I'll tell you that right now.
Absolutely. And we'll catch you next time we talk music. We're going to have another great guest coming up real soon.
All right. Check it all out. Thanks so much.
So I feel no pain. I tell my girl that I'ma change my ways. She knows I'm never gonna change. Same old shit running my mouth until she busts my lip. So many problems, you can take your pick. I know I'm never gonna change. Too close. I am what I am, know where I go. If you catch me running away, then you'll know. Too close. Am what I am. Know what I know. You catch me running away, then you'll know.